We did this morning part 24 of what's in the Gospels for us. And it's John chapter 14, so turn to John chapter 14. There was so much material in John chapter 14 that I couldn't wait until next Sunday to do the second part. Because I do want to get through John. Because I'd like to really have a serious sit down and just Sunday school and just teach and have us get the verses that we've heard for 8 years or 9 years or 7 years, whatever, on preaching the risen Christ. So that'll be in Sunday school here in about a couple weeks, I guess, but we'll get going here. But boy, I tell you, there's some stuff in John chapter 14 that is just marvelous. So we're going to finish John chapter 14 this morning during the service, and then we got that radical thing tonight. And what we covered in Sunday school this morning was we talked again about when it talks in chapter 14, verse 1, about believing in Him. We reviewed generally, just real quickly, that what it is that they had to believe during the times of the Gospels, that He was the Son of God, that He was the Messiah, that He was the Christ. That's what they had to believe. Their faith was in the fact that their faith believed that He was the Son of God. That's what it talks about when you read through the Gospels and He talks about believing in Him or believing on Him. That's what it is. Today, if you just believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that doesn't make you any different than anybody else. You have to trust and have faith and trust in Him. Ephesians chapter 1, 13, Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, and Paul's got a bunch of verses. That's a big thing for people to realize. Then we talked about where Thomas says, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. We don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? And we see where Jesus Christ, the Bible says that He went to sit at the right hand of God the Father. That's where He's at right now, at the right hand of God the Father. And we went through a couple of verses in Psalms where it talks about what God's right hand is. It's salvation, it's righteousness, it will be exalted. It is the right hand to find out those that hate God, and we're sure finding that out. And that right hand is Jesus Christ. This is just an amazing thing to study. We looked at Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we don't discount that. We just say that when Jesus says, I am the way, what He's saying to us today is the risen Christ is the way. Not the Jesus of the Gospels. If we can't follow Jesus' teachings in the Gospels, we follow Jesus' teachings to Paul. So yes, Jesus Christ is still the way. He is still the truth. I'm the way, the truth, the life. He still is, but we have to make sure that we're following the risen Christ, not the earthly Christ. Then we noticed a bunch of verses here that talked about the deity of Christ, that He is God manifest in the flesh. And they had a problem with it during the days of the Gospel. That's why all they had to believe it. He was the Messiah, that He was God manifest in the flesh. That's what they had to believe. And we see that that issue was still going on in all the modern Bibles today, that they're taking out the deity of Christ. He is just another teacher, another prophet. Which, by the way, is setting everybody up for the Antichrist, because the Antichrist doesn't believe that He is of God. We'll get to that in a minute. Then we got into a long little series here this morning about where it says in verse 12, the works that I do shall he do also. Who's that? He that believeth. Verse 12, John chapter 14, verse 12. And I did leave out a point. I just thought of that earlier this morning. Do you realize that most Christians, they are called believers anymore? They call themselves a believer. Well, what does a believer believe in? It's hard to say. Everybody's a believer. The monkeys were a believer. Ages me and dates me. You know? But they had to believe in the Gospels. Where were they first called Christians? In Paul's time. So we ought to be called Christians. That tells people you're following Christ. You're not following Jesus, you're following Christ. Well, Christ is Jesus, yes, but if we're going to follow Jesus' teachings, those are the ones to the Jews. That's Jesus. That's what they had to believe. We're going to follow Christ, the risen Jesus, the risen Christ, and that's why we are called Christians. Somebody says, well, I'm a believer. Tell them you're a Christian. And see, if they, well, that's the same thing. Well, no, not really. Not necessarily. What do you believe in? Well, I believe that, you know, then if you start digging, you find that a lot of believers today are reading Bibles that don't even say anything about being a Christian or anything about Paul or anything about rightly dividing or anything about the blood of Christ or anything about the deity of Christ. That and a bunch of other things. And most of the professors that taught the pastors in these churches don't believe that Jesus was even virgin born. They don't even believe that. A lot of them don't believe in heaven and hell. I mean, you pin your pastors, those pastors, professors, down to whatever. They don't believe the Word of God is the King James Bible. They go to the Greek, they go to the Hebrews, they go to the originals, which nobody has. They'll go to other different teachings. They just won't follow a rightly divided Bible. Then we get into the fact that in that whole thing about the works that I do, shall he do also? Are we supposed to imitate Christ? Are we going to do the same thing that Jesus did because that's what he says to do? No, but then see, the modern Bibles tell everybody to imitate Jesus. To imitate him. That's what their Bibles say. I mean, it says imitate. Imitate God. Imitate Paul. Imitate Paul as he imitates Christ. That's what their Bibles say. And, well, see, if you imitate... I'm doing the whole thing again this morning, but it's okay. You imitate Christ, you won't sin. Because he didn't sin, so if you do what he did, then you won't be sinning. But that's not what he tells us to do today. He tells us that he took care of the law. All things are what? Lawful. Oh, wait a minute. But there's still how many strings attached? There are still some reasons we don't do some of the things that we are lawful to do. Because he took care of the law. If he took care of the law, if there is no law, there is nobody going to get arrested. And if they eliminate the speed limits on Highway 12, you can go to town a whole lot quicker to get your parts, and you won't get stopped for a speeding ticket. It's not because you're not speeding. Well, you're driving 85, 90 miles an hour. But you're not speeding because there's no law. So what you do, Austin, is you take the speed limit signs down and then fly to town. See if that works. It wouldn't work unless you're the head of the highway department. Then you can do that. If you're the governor that made the laws, no speed limit. Montana, Wyoming ever have that? No laws for speeding? Probably, because, man, I tell you what, sorry. What a worthless state to drive 55 or 60 or 70 miles an hour. 90 minimum in that state. It's just unreal. No law. That's what they did. Now they threw a law, so now you can get stopped for, what do they call it, not driving according to the weather or something like that in Montana. You know, you can go 80 if it's sunshiny, 40 if it's snowing or some silly thing like that. So, are we supposed to imitate Jesus? No, we're supposed to follow the risen Christ. And then the backup of the whole thing about imitation is the fact that Jesus Christ, the devil says to imitate God. He wants to be like the Most High. So he's getting everybody down here through these modern Bibles to try to imitate Jesus, and all he's doing is he's building up himself an army, Revelation 16, to go against Jesus when he comes back. So, there's that. And we didn't point out, but I mentioned there's different places. There's Acts 26, there's Galatians 1, there's Ephesians 3, where Paul meets with the risen Christ. So the risen Savior teaches Paul what to teach to the Gentiles. I don't know why people don't get that other than the devil blinds. And they're not reading their Bible. Not rightly dividing it. Okay, then we jumped into verse 13 and 14 about asking things in His name. If you ask Him in His name, you'll get them. Is that what's happened to you? Have you noticed that when you pop Jesus' name in the end of your prayer that a lot of them still aren't coming true? Well, what's the problem with that? Well, He didn't ask it in His will. No, He says if you ask Him in His name, He'll do it. It doesn't say in His will. So we read in Colossians 3:17, we're supposed to do all things in His name. So then we should say in His name everything we do. Everything we do, in His name, in His name, in His name. He doesn't say in His name. We find out from Paul's teachings, a sermon we did in the past, that if you're saved, if you're a Christian, you trusted in Christ, you are in His name. So if you want to pray, you've got to be in His name. You don't say it. Because if you can just say it, then a priest can say it, and his little Catholic prayers will come true. Then we looked at verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Is that what he's talking about? We touch base on the Great Commission again, that what he told them to do, they were to do. And if they didn't, he wasn't with them. Because he hadn't given them the Holy Spirit yet, the Holy Ghost. So that takes care of that. We looked at verse 20, another deity verse. We looked at 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. So in other words, if you don't, then the pastors out there will tell you, well, then God doesn't love you. You've lost your fellowship with God. Some will teach you that you lose your salvation because you didn't do His commandments. It says right there, yes, but the Gospels are not written to us, they're written for us. It's an amazing thing. Judas comes up with this great question. By the way, in the Great Commission, is the end of Matthew, the end of Mark, and the apostles are given the powers of signs and wonders and healings and all this stuff. speaking in tongues and the whole shebang, and they go out to the world and they do that stuff. And if a person believes in Christ, as they say, and repents and gets baptized, then they will have these miracles and signs and healings. That's what happens. Yes, it did take place. What's taking place today is a fake. It's of the devil. It's an imitation. It's a false thing. But it did take place at one time in history. Acts 1 through 8. That's where it took place. Then Judas asked this marvelous question. Judas, not Iscariot. Make sure you get the right Judas there. How is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us? How does he do it and not to the world? And he says in verse 23, Jesus says, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. And my Father will love him and will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. That's what took place then. It doesn't take place today. Why is that? Well, he talks about in verse 26, the Comforter has come. He's going to send a Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, he says. And that Comforter is going to take place because when he leaves. Now, we go back to John chapter 14, verse 16. He talks about this Comforter. Now, we also read in John chapter 7 that this Holy Ghost was not given during the gospel times because Jesus was not yet glorified. John chapter 7, verse 38 and 39. That's what it says. So they couldn't have the Holy Ghost in them. It says he had it with them, but not in them. Major difference. What do we have? We have the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit in us. What will they have during the tribulation? They won't have the Holy Spirit in them. It'll be with them. It'll be upon their flesh. Acts chapter 2. So, what is the devil doing today? He's trying to get people to already fake and imitate church and preaching and salvation and the whole thing based on their flesh. The music is all fleshy. That's why the music has to have the beat and all that stuff to it, because it's very fleshly oriented. That's why people don't like the old-fashioned hymns, because they don't involve the flesh, unless the orchestra jazzes it up and gets into that stuff. Those hymns are very dull to people today, musically. They have no idea what they're saying when they sing an old-fashioned hymn. We're finding out that some of the old-fashioned hymns have got some falsities in there. But people don't care if they like the music. Okay, so we realize then today that the Holy Spirit that God gave, that Jesus Christ would give, the Comforter, then goes out to the world and gives them an understanding. Paul talks about that. Give them an understanding. But what don't they have yet? They don't have the Scriptures that we have today. They had Scriptures, but it was Old Testament. Duh. You know, Paul hadn't written his stuff yet. And so they would look to the Scriptures and find out he was the Messiah, because it would fulfill prophecy and all the things that were taking place. So the Spirit of God had to work on these people. The Spirit of God would give them that understanding. That's the Comforter. And then he went to Paul. So the teachings of Paul that Paul taught was given to Paul by the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. Talk to them through Jesus Christ face to face. So Paul would have that understanding. So would other people. But then it comes along in 1611, that which is perfect, it came. The Bible's done. No more additions. No, there's all sorts of little twizzles going on because people just think there's some problems in there. No, it's fine. Nothing else is to be added. Nothing else is to be taken away. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, Jesus Christ, God Himself, works to us through this Bible. That's what we talked about in Sunday school this morning. That was a lot in Sunday school. But I got the notes if you want to take them. This is Bible study. This is where we're studying and reading. And all I'm trying to get people to do is get excited about their Bible. And God will show you something that He's not going to show me, because you need to have what you need to have. Because you sure don't like to hear it from me. I've learned that. That table didn't. They're in Oklahoma. I'm telling you, it's an amazing thing what's going on. And I know it can be discouraging. Trust me, I know it can be discouraging. But boy, I'll tell you what, apostasy is no fun. It is not fun. Nobody says it's going to be. Affliction and suffering reproach is not fun. And everybody wants fun today. I've already heard something today that just surprised me. Oh, it's like, and don't think it's anybody here as such. Are we serious at all about what's going on these days? Do we just want to still do whatever we can to have fun? That's an amazing thing. The word fun. I preached on that sometime. I did, didn't I? Enjoyment kind of a thing. So this morning, let's finish John chapter 14. We're up to chapter 14, verse 27. And it says here that peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Is that what he says in verse 1? Let your heart not be troubled. He's always telling us not to let our heart be troubled. He says in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the peacemakers. He says in Luke, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And he says that they don't know the way of peace. But is what Jesus taught in the Gospels about peace, would that give us peace today? If you were a peacemaker, blessed are the peacemakers, Matthew chapter 5, would you have peace? Well, whoever has the biggest peacemaker will have the peace. And that's what America used to be. We used to have the biggest peacemakers. And as a result, nobody would play with us. Nobody would get mad at us. Nobody dared mess with an American in foreign seas, or this peacemaker would come over and deal with it. They were scared to death of America. But no longer. Way back to the Pueblo. Remember the Pueblo? That little bitty boat? I think that's probably one of the first times we just knuckled under, whatever the phrase is. What a phrase we got? What do you say with that thing? Something under. Gave what? Buckled under. There we go. It's close. They had the right sound to it. Buckled in, buckled under, and just gave in. It's been that way ever since for America. What about Christians? Where do we get our peace? Where is this peace that we have? Listen, I don't think anybody in here does not have struggles. I know some struggles on our website family that are a lot harder than ours. We may have a struggle here that I don't look forward to at all. I just don't. But can we have peace through these things? We're struggling here because of age, because of finances, because of health, because of our children, because of grandchildren, because of marriage situations, not married. We have things that we're struggling with. So to go out there and put a flower in somebody's gun barrel, is that going to make you have peace? To get rid of the guns, is that going to give us peace? Everybody give in, everybody give all the money you have into one big bucket and let some guy from space come down here and tell you how much you can have and how you can activate your money system and buy stuff you need to buy. Well, the first one is kind of weird to me, but that's just the way it'll be, you know. Well, this is a whole lot easier than rubbing your head up and down in the Walmart little scanner, you know. But is that what we're going to have peace with? You know what? You know what's giving people peace today? Is that they got some cash somewhere. They got some money somewhere that they haven't lost yet. And that's all. They're looking for more money because they want to have peace. Peace gives them that money, gives them that peace. Is that right? Is that true? Well, some of the stuff I'm hearing that people are still doing that know what's going, they ought to know what's going on financially, and they're still doing what they're doing. It amazes me. I should tighten more too, but man, if there's not much in the bucket to tighten, what's there to tighten? Right, LD? But we're going to try. It's amazing to me. Where do we get peace? Where are we supposed to get peace? From Jesus being a peacemaker, where he talks about he will guide us into peace? Yes, he will. I'm not doubting Jesus at all. But I'm talking about the risen Christ will tell us about the peace. Not the Jesus to the Jews. Nor do you go to Peter, because during the tribulation, where are they going to get peace? They're going to be clobbered. They need the Spirit of God upon their flesh to do right. And if they're not doing right, they're going to lose their peace because they know that they lost their salvation. Unless they confess their sin and get it right again, they'll have their peace back, but they're going to have to be doing right to have peace. Is that the way it is with us? It's a very joyful thing to be doing right. And there is a lot of peace in doing right, no doubt. I'm not doubting that. But where is our... When we put our head on our pillows at night, where's our peace? Do you have enough money in the bank account? Is your health okay? Well, so far we can all say no. Not enough money in the bank account. None of our health is good enough. Where's our peace? Well, here we go. Romans. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the risen Christ. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We need to be more spiritually minded than physically minded. Carnal minded. Carnal minded is money, stuff, things, future, jobs. I mean, we need it. We need it. And we're losing it. The sound of the millstone's going further and further away, isn't it? Jobs and stuff? Boy, I'll tell you. You may have peace now because you have a job, but you might not have a job tomorrow. Every time I come here Sunday morning, I see some cars pull up and people walk in. Whew, another week. LD goes back to that box. Jiggle, jiggle, jiggle. Whew, I can pay the bills again. Is that our peace? Talked to a man today, or last night, an email. A pastor, Bible-believing Paul preaching church. They're selling the place. They have to. But they've got some other people above them that make these decisions. See, we are our own people here. We're our own place here. And he's having struggle with that thing. What's going to happen in the next... I remember the January 1st message. I said, this is going to be a really some year that I've never seen. Man, this is what, only October? I'm not sure we can make it to December. All the things that are happening. We might not make it past tonight. We'll see. Romans 14:7, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. What kind of a false religion is everybody part of if we don't have a peace because of the Holy Ghost that's in there? Well, where do we get our peace? From the Scriptures of the Holy Ghost. If you're not into this Bible, this God cannot give us that peace. It's got to come from that book. He will give it to us through our Bible reading. Remember the thing I read this morning about that man that's having cancer surgery Wednesday? And he says he loses his peace and he gets fearful after a while. I showed him some verses and he just said, thanks for reminding me. I know that stuff. I just tend to forget them. And I'll be there someday. You'll be there someday. I mean, what are you going to go about? Where are you going to get your peace when the doctor says, hey, you only got about 6 months to live and it's really going to hurt? I'm not waiting for that. I'm waiting for that. I'm not looking forward to that, put it that way. Because not waiting for that could have a whole different meaning. I don't mean that. Where's your peace going to be when it really hits hard? We're going global. Do we still have peace with that? You know, whoever wins this next president thing is going to destroy what's left. One's going to do it obviously, one's going to do it sneakily. And the one that's still in there is the one that's uniting the world globally, financially. It's amazing. And he has all the power in the world that if any kind of a terrorist activity shows up, he can cancel the elections and just maintain this global survival thing. We're so close to what could possibly happen, and we just want to go off and do what we're going to go do. Now, where's our peace? He says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. And things wherewith one may edify another. He says in Ephesians, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. That's between us and the Jews, even. He says, having abolished in his flesh, that's Christ, he lived the walk in his flesh, the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. He took care of all that stuff. I mean, when you're driving down the highway and you're going back to my speed illustrations, the kids will listen for this part of it. When you're going 65 miles an hour and the speed limit 60, you don't have a whole lot of peace. It's not too bad, but if you're going 70 or 75 or 80, and you're looking at every billboard, every tree, looking in your mirror, left mirror, right mirror, you're known there's a guy out there somewhere, and you have no peace. You're going to get there on time. You could have some dog run out or a car run out. I mean, you have no peace breaking the law. But Christ took care of the law. So where's our peace? Maybe we're breaking the strings of the liberty, that liberty we have. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. He says in Philippians 4, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Pretty hard, isn't it? I mean, it is. Look at the situation all of us are in. I mean, we pray about it, I hope we do. And we read about it, I hope you do. And then we throw in there, but Lord, couldn't this happen to the next generation? Well, we're not going to be here for the tribulation. So if this Osama bin Laden guy becomes president...
What do we got to worry about?
If it says in Thessalonians, and I'm kind of surprised at this, so many of our Bible guys think that we're not going to know who the Antichrist is. Yes, it says he will be made known. Then we go. So I'm anxious to hear the. I'm anxious to. It's him. And what is this Obama guy been running as?
World leader.
Oh, I'm telling you, this is just small little stuff to us to this day, but it's just getting closer and closer and closer. LD, you just might make it, you know. And that the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. The peace of God should rule no matter what's going on. No matter what. 2 Timothy, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. Maybe we're hanging out of those youthful lusts still. I don't know. So anyway, where do we get our peace? From the risen Christ, not the gospel of Jesus. Look at verse 28. Verse 28. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. See, now they had to, that's what they had to believe. Then he went to the Father. Verse 29. And now I have told you before it came to pass, that when it has come to pass, you might believe. He's telling them he's going to leave. He's going to go back to the Father because that's who he is of. And he tells them that so they believe when it happens. And their opportunity to follow through is going to be in Acts chapter 1 through 8 in your Bible reading. That's where the apostles go out to the world to preach what Jesus told them to preach. But today, we have a King James Bible that has to be rightly divided. It is the gospel of our salvation. It is the word of truth. It needs to be rightly divided. And we find out that not only is he gone to be with the Father, but he's in us by faith. And now we can walk to please God. And we're walking to please ourselves. Thessalonians. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God. That's what we're learning. That's what we can learn today. We can learn today from the risen Christ that he's paid all the law, he's paid all the penalties, he paid it all. Nothing for us to worry about. Now we can actually live to please God. And we have a Bible that tells us how to do it in detail. We have a Bible that warns us about the tricks of the devil. Otherwise, he calls them the devices of Satan. We have a Bible that will tell us about another Jesus. We have a Bible that will warn us about all these religions, all these denominations, and all these things that are going weird. We have a Bible that warns us about all these other Bibles. We have a Bible that tells us how to do our children. How to prepare our children for the generation they have that is going to be a whole lot worse than ours. We have a Bible that tells us how to dress to please God. We have a Bible that tells us how to behave to please God. We have a Bible that tells us how to think to please God. We have a Bible that tells us, everything we need to know. And all I hear is still doubts and frustrations, and we just can't do this, it's not practical, doesn't make sense, I think you're too strong, da 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 da. And yet I see when people talk like that, they do not get out their Bible and prove it with Scriptures. Just like those guys on the email the last couple days, I was just asking that one question. If you did not have your King James Bible, would you understand what you understand about God today? And they will not answer that question. What is the matter with these guys? Of course they won't answer the question, because their answer has to be no. If it wasn't for the King James Bible, we wouldn't have all these modern Bibles. Why is that? Every one of those modern Bibles compares themselves to what? King James Bible. Hello? Why don't you compare this thing to another modern Bible? You compare it to the King James Bible, that was my thing. That's it. They're all comparing to this thing. This must be what I get into this thing. That's what he's given to us today. Why? So we would believe. By faith. Our faith in Christ gives us the faith of Christ. In the gospel days, their faith in Jesus being the Messiah, that's all they had. When they lose their faith, they quit, they walk away. Remember John chapter 6? He lost hundreds of disciples. He just took off. They didn't believe it. They left. They can do that. You could leave today and quit believing this Bible, quit believing what God has to say, shut down the whole shebang, and guess who's still in there, if he was in there in the first place? Jesus is still in there because he cannot deny himself to put any sin upon you because the law has been taken care of. You couldn't even lose your salvation if you tried. It's not possible. You lose your fellowship with God? No, you're the one that quits reading. You're the one that shuts down the conversation of fellowship. He'll never shut it down. Matter of fact, the Spirit of God in Romans chapter 8 is praying for us more than we know. We don't know how to pray for things we need. We don't know how to do that. So it's all in the Scriptures, in Paul's books directly to us. Why? Just like he says, so we believe. We can't stop at the Gospels to believe. You got to go to Great Commission. You got to go through Paul. You got to look at the tribulation. You got to realize where you're at. That's what you believe right there. And that's the risen Christ. Then the rest of the Bible, the whole counsel of God, is exactly what it is. His whole counsel of God was to Adam and Eve. It was Abraham. It was to Moses. It was to all those prophets that preached what they preached and taught what they taught and had to do what they had to do for object lessons. Oh, they had some rough things to do. Then you get into the Gospels that Jesus was down to the Jews. Then you get to Acts chapter 1 through 8 and you see that there's where the Jews went out to the world, the Great Commission. Then they killed the preacher in Acts chapter 7, I guess it is, and 8 was carryover. And Acts chapter 9, Paul gets saved. Paul learns these things. Christ meets him face to face. All of Paul's books, Romans to Philemon, is what's written to Gentiles, say, from our only apostle Paul. From Hebrews to Jude is tribulational books. Well, of course, it's after Paul. The Bible is not chronologically correct, but it's dispensationally correct. And then it ends up with Revelation, which is about the past, present, and future. Is that too fast? Did you get all that? I love this stuff. But it sure is hard today. How are we going to do all this? Well, look at verse 30. We'll see a part of the problem here in verse 30. Hereafter what? When he departs and the Comforter comes, I will not talk much with you. Why? For the prince of this world cometh. He hath nothing in me. And then Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm going to get you to flip your pages a little bit. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 3. This is Paul's fear about this prince of this world. He says, but I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. It's the mind he's after. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if he receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Somebody's going to come along and teach another Jesus. And Paul's afraid of that. He wants you to have the risen one. Verse 31. Second Corinthians 4, chapter 3. Chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. Chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's chapter 11. It's not chapter 4. It's chapter 11. Okay. I'll go do that verse again. Chapter 11. And you know, Kathy, when I say chapter 11, you know what I think of, right? Chapter 11. I know. Boy, isn't that ridiculous when you're a child. You remember all this stupid television stuff that just fills your brain with just worthless little trivia. Just irritates me. Didn't irritate me at the time, though. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 and 4, when Jesus talks about the prince of this world cometh after he leaves, and Paul's fear is, lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve, not Adam, but Eve, through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. I'll tell you what, you go to Bible college, you come out of there so confused, they just ruin that simplicity. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Paul's afraid that his people are going to get caught up with another Jesus. That's his fear. Even back then. That's the prince of this world. Now, verse 31. Verse 31 is the last verse, right? And it's only been 35 minutes. Don't get excited. I got a lot on this verse. Okay? Here we go. But that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. So as the Father gave me commandment, Jesus did it. He did what His Father told Him. Now the first thing I want you to see here, kids, here's an example. Jesus obeyed His Father. And look at the things that Jesus had to go through to do. I mean, He was crucified, killed, tortured, rejected, ignored, laughed at, mocked all through His life. And all the time He was doing good, He was doing right. He was helping people. He was doing what He needed to do because His Father told Him to do that. And He was obeyed. He was obedient to His Father. Not one time did God ask Jesus to do something that was wrong to do. That's the key right there for parents. We'll talk about that tonight. Oh no, another parent message tonight. No, it's not that way. And look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. So that was one little blurb for the kids. Obey your father. But the pressure's on father. Make sure that you teach them to do the right thing. That's the problem. But anyway. 2 Timothy 1:8. Even though we know in the book of John, Jesus' testimony was not believed by people. We were reminded this morning that Jesus' own family did not believe what He said, that He was who He was. His own family, His own brothers and sisters, His immediate family, not the brethren and the sister, but His immediate family did not believe Him. For the prophet has no honor in his own country, with his own kin, his own family. And this is what we're finding out as a Bible-believing, seeking to be a Bible-practicing type of a Paul-following Christian. You won't get the support from who you would think you would get the support from. You'll be challenged by the brethren, not by the world. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." We talked about, is that right? Okay. I'm going to have Sue this morning to remind me I got the right verse. We're not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. What is the testimony of our Lord? That He was the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. He was the Messiah come down as a form of man in the Gospels. They killed him and he died and rose again. All what He did for the time He was dead in hell and took the people out of Abraham's bosom. Went out through Peter to teach to the Jews, to teach to the Gentiles that were out there. Then He went to Paul, and Paul, through Jesus Christ teaching Paul what to teach to us, took that to the Gentiles, and now Jesus Christ is getting everybody ready because the tribulation is going to come. He takes His people out of here because the Holy Spirit's got to go. He comes back, second coming, and does what He has to do, puts the devil in chains for 1,000 years, rules the place, and everybody comes back up, and everybody fights Him again. Boy, are we dumb or what? And there's the testimony of our Lord. It's His whole life, the whole spiel that takes place. I'm not ashamed of that. If you want to pin it down to just His death, burial, resurrection, okay, that's pretty shallow, but I'm not ashamed of that. I mean, you read today that people, the newspaper and the magazines and the religious folks say that, oh, Jesus was violence. The story of Jesus is about violence and blood and all that stuff. That's a terrible thing. God isn't that way. No, that's the way it is. I'm not ashamed of that at all. But it also goes on and says, nor of me His prisoner, and that's Paul. I'm not ashamed of teaching Paul. I'm not ashamed of telling people about Paul. I've come to realize that maybe I should have started out this whole Paul series years ago by talking about the risen Christ more than Paul. I guess. I don't know. Because we're still following Paul. But bottom line is we're following the risen Christ. So maybe I should have talked about the risen... But I'm not ashamed of Paul. I'm not sure ashamed of what he went through. Remember, we studied his life in Acts 9 through 28. We studied his life, not his teachings, his life. Terrible. But I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of Paul. I'm not ashamed to tell somebody, you know, you're following Jesus' teachings, but that's not right. We're supposed to follow the teachings of Paul from the risen Jesus, the risen Christ. That's what we're supposed to. And you know what's coming? You know what's coming? You a hyper? What's a hyper? No, I'm not a hyper. Not at all. Just following the risen Christ teachings to Paul. That's all it is. Just happens to be that Paul teaches some pretty specific things in Thessalonians and Timothy. I'm going to show you something tonight that is it's huge. I don't think it's going to happen. Not today. I think there's hardly any father in this world that'll do that today. It's don't think so. I hope I'm wrong. Hope I live long enough to find out. Right, LD? That's tonight. Okay. Look at Matthew 24. But that the world may know that I love the Father. The world needed to know that. So Christ did what He did. That the world may know that I love the Father, and I did what my Father told me to do, and that was to die on the cross, and He was going to resurrect Him. He knew that was coming. Remember in the Gospels, He didn't even want to. Is that kind of an odd thing? He didn't want to do what God, His Father, wanted Him to do. Matter of fact, Paul didn't even want to do what Jesus asked him to do. When Paul met with Christ face to face, where do you suppose Paul would rather have been? He would rather be with the Lord. But he says, but if it be needful, I'll stay down here for you. But he kind of hinted, I really don't want to. You know, okay. I'll do this for you. Will you do this for your family? Will you do the stuff that Paul teaches? I'll do it, but I really don't want to. I'm having a whole lot more fun on my machines and my toys, and I'd rather spend the money. But will you do it for your family? That's the big question for tonight. Ladies, will you do what God would have you do to be pleased? Oh, I really don't want to, but I will. Will you? What will you teach your girls? What will you teach your boys? How to make a buck in this world? What are we teaching them? Here we go. Matthew 24:24. Here's the finale to this thing. That the world may know I love the Father. Matthew 24:24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Who's the elect? Who did God choose? He chose the Jews. So Calvinism dies if you're rightly divided. It just dies. Calvinism is what people believe, that God picks and chooses who gets saved and who doesn't. They call them the elect. If you're here this morning because you're saved, God chose you. Your friend and family that doesn't want to come, God chose them to not want to come and to be lost. That's ridiculous teachings, but they get it from the Gospels. There's other verses to support it, but you've got to reread them differently. That's not right. So that's who the elect is. So His people can be deceived by these false Christs. Well, that took place. Look at Mark 13. We have teachings running rampant through Christianity today that are not teaching the risen Christ. They're false teachings. And that they talk about is Jesus. Mark 13:22 says the same thing. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. To seduce. And if without looking there, if we go to Timothy chapter 4 here, it says, 1 Timothy chapter 4, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to what kind of spirits? Seducing. Seducing means you have somebody going, come here. Come here. This is nice. Come here. Come on. This is good. Tastes good. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. You walk into a chocolate shop. Sometimes you walk by the chocolate shop. Listen, all I got to do is drive by the chocolate shop. And if there's a parking space open, remember what I used to say? Then God would have me go there. And I was only kidding, but still, you know, how many times does the devil want me to go there and all this kind of stuff? And does he care about chocolate? Sure, he cares about that kind of stuff. I think the devil invented chocolate myself. Nah, just white chocolate. Finish this up with 1 John. How many times have I said finish this up, Austin? Is this my second time, I think? Keep track. I might say it two more times here. 1 John chapter 2. Listen, we are getting so close to the tribulation. Why do you think we're not in the tribulation? Because we're here. That's all I need to know. I cannot be here with the Spirit of God in me and this be the tribulation, by studying what the teachings of the tribulation will be. So anyway, we'll skip all that. 1 John 2:18. Little children, this is 1 John now, not the big John, but the 1 John. One in the back. Tribulation book, not to us. Little children, it is the last time. As ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Look at verse 22. Let me just check here. I guess we'll probably just keep reading there. 1 John 2:18. Might as well read 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now that's a powerful verse. I want to be careful with this one. Just read it with what it says and think about what's going on these days in the last 10 years at our church, even. They went out from us, but they're not of us. Haven't you had some problems with things here? Sure you have. But aren't you still here? That's because you're of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. See, now, you don't have that unction today. You need a Bible. You don't know all things. You need a Bible. What won't they have in the tribulation days? There'll be a famine of the Word of God. I believe this is where God, again, is going to give them that understanding and that unction. Verse 22, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? That is the very issue during the gospel days, that Jesus was the Christ. What will be the issue again? Jesus is the Christ. That's where this Antichrist is going to show up. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. First John chapter 4, verse 3. Good stuff here about the Antichrist, acknowledging the Father or not. Acknowledging the Son in chapter 4, verse 3. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Have you noticed that the world leaders and the American leaders, and even the American religious leaders, are saying this? I mean, they're saying this. So yes, false Christ, Antichrist. But we must be getting ready for the big guy to come around. Look at verse 7. 2 John chapter 1. I'm sorry, 2 John chapter 1. 2 John verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Do you see what the modern Bibles are teaching? They're teaching that Jesus Christ is just a guy. It's not the Christ. It's not God manifest in the flesh. That's what these modern Bibles are preparing our kids to believe exactly. That these modern Bibles are teaching our children, not our children here, but are teaching children in this country to be antichrists. To not believe that is what it says. Is that amazing? I mean, man, that's amazing. And then look at Daniel chapter 11. Let's see if anybody knows where I'm going in Daniel chapter 11. I go there a lot lately. Anybody know where I'm headed? Verse something? What? Yes. We're going to go back to 36. 11:36. Now we're talking about John chapter 14. Why? I know we are. And we're finding out that what people have been taught is heading them towards Antichrist. Another Jesus that comes back. And we're finishing this thing up. Because he said, but that the world may know that I love the Father, that's the world, and as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. And Jesus did that. Now we got another one coming around, all over the place. And the king, verse 16, 36. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of God. And shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. So, as we get closer to the tribulation, this false Jesus, this false Christianity, this imitation baloney, this garbage that's out there, will prosper. And see, that bugs me. Is it a pride thing? I don't know what it is, but it bothers me to see the prosperity of this modern Christianity, because I know that's what kids want, that's what people want. So we struggle to have that prosperity ourselves, and all we do is get in debt. But this world, this modern Christianity, they got more cash they don't know what to do with. Look at the buildings they're building. Look at the fountains. Look at the gymnasiums. Look at all the people flocking to these mega churches all over the world, all over the country. And in the meantime, do you ever find that quote where that says about the one mosque a day, one mosque a week thing? In the meantime, amongst all this joy and prosperity of modern Christianity, one mosque a week is being built in America. And Islam has already destroyed Europe and is over here doing the same thing. And can the Antichrist come out of the Islam thing? That's all supposed to come out of Catholicism. You know what Islam is? It's a form of Catholicism. Maybe this Muhammad guy, we're going to get more than eggs after this one if anybody listens. Maybe this Muhammad guy that they teach is going to come back. Maybe there's going to be so many Islamic people all over this world that when supposedly Muhammad comes back, ta-da, there he is, Revelation chapter 6. Are you preparing your kids for what could happen in their time about all this Islamic stuff? Islamism is being taught in almost all the schools anymore. It's just amazing what's going on. And we just let them do it. And you said that the European countries have figured it out. Yes, it's a little late. They're being destroyed, and they're destroying the mosques and stuff. But in America, we're making laws against that. So if you destroy anything to do with Islamic something or other, you're going to be the one in jail, not them. It's amazing what's going on. But it's okay. We can just hear about it, not paying attention to it. Not going to build a mosque in Tushy. Oh, maybe we... I don't know. It's hard to say. Anyway... shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. Anybody here remember Lion King? Kids? Remember Scar? At the end of the movie, he was buddies with all the hyenas and all the people. He gave them all this food and all the... Remember that? And then what happened all of a sudden? A famine took place. Those little critters had nothing anymore. Remember Scar? Scar was the devil. How'd that movie end up? Mimbu? Who was Simba? Simba. Came back as a grown lion. Fought Scar. Where Scar ended up going? Down off the side into hell. Lake of fire. This is what's going to happen. I don't know why I thought of that. The dangers of our kids seeing these things. I'm glad you recognize what I'm saying there. For that is determined shall be done. It's going to happen, no matter what we say, no matter what we do. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God. Desire of women, Genesis chapter 3, the desire of a woman is towards the husband. Ladies, I'll say it again, I say every time, we are your curse. And all the ladies go, amen. You really are. And the devil's trying to change all that. No, I remember I read Wednesday night. Now ladies are taking the men's name. No, the men are taking the ladies' name. Don't you do that. just don't do that. I'm surprised you want to marry the guy now that you know fishing takes number one anyway. So what can I say? Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll wise up. No regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. Is that not what the devil wanted to do in Isaiah? Be like the Most High? Wants to be higher than that. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces. Remember the Star Wars thing? May the force be with you? I knew something was in that movie that force thing was wrong. I mean, there it is. The God of forces. And a God of whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds of the strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land that's supposed to be yours for gain. One more verse. Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 19. Marilyn, you'll like this. Ezekiel chapter 7, then we're done. As things are going as bad as they're going, or good, I guess, it depends how I look at it, they're going great because The Scriptures are being fulfilled today, no doubt about it at all. But look at Ezekiel 7:19. Well, the financial market the way it's going, we all should be buying gold and all that kind of stuff because it's got value and all that. And I guess back when some of you older folks were kids, they confiscate all the gold and gave you 50 cents for it and then sold it later for $50 or something. It was what a rip-off that must have been. And we think gold is still the answer today. We're not going to be here for the tribulation anyway, but as we get closer and closer, look at this, verse 19. Ezekiel 7:19. Then we'll be done. They shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Okay, that's bad enough. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. Gold just isn't going to do it for you. It's not going to happen. So, we see where this whole gold thing is going to end up. Man, what should we invest in? Cattle. Right? Because even if we can't have any money, we can kill a cow every month and we can still eat. You're our survival here. Then you got to keep growing the wheat so we can have Wheaties and cereal and stuff like that. And then you got to be making the bread and goat's milk for drinking and we can handle it here. Fish, we'll have all the fish we need because Scott is really not a good fisherman. And we can make it. Oh, wait a minute. We got Chuck here to counsel us as if we get messed up with stuff. And Catherine, you can take all the pictures and make a scrapbook out of this whole thing. We can just work together here so well. And you guys can keep fixing my car and the tractors and stuff like that. So yeah, we're a family here. We're a family here. But we don't have. Let's see. We got to have you do something here. What can we have you do? You can make our coffee all the time. You can make coffee all the time. You know. I'm in trouble because I didn't get everybody involved in our family here. But and Mary, you can keep our building together for us. We've got everybody covered here. But we don't have to be here for all this, do we? No, we don't have to be here for all this. But boy, are we seeing things taking place? It's amazing. We ought to be looking to Paul and find out what it is that we can really do to please God these last days. Are we in the last days? No. Latter times? I have no doubt that we are. I'm sure we are. I have no doubt that we aren't. That we are. We are. No doubt. But that's okay. Let's just go home and do our little thing. It's not going to hit us here in Tucci yet. I can still pretend I'm Hopalong Cassidy. We can all do our little thing. It's going to get hard here pretty quick. Okay.